is Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, the last verse that we read. And it says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." Last week, we began to hear what the Bible says on the important topic of work. And the reason, one of the reasons why I began that series is because over the last few months, a number of people had spoken about their work, either how much they enjoyed it. They were wondering whether that job was for them, or they were seeking employment elsewhere, or whatever it was. There were a number of people over the last couple of months that spoke with me and shared what they were thinking. But also over the last couple of years, I've noticed that people are never far from thinking about their work. Last time we considered how someone has calculated that 90,000 hours of our lives on average are going to be spent on our 9-to-5 job, if that's what we have. And so with something so integral to our life, it's important that we have the right understanding of these things. So that's why, amongst other things, I began a series on work. It just so happens that work is a creation ordinance, and Peter has already spoken on the creation ordinance of the Sabbath, and so it felt naturally then to consider the issue of work, that second ordinance, creation ordinance, and then in the future we'll consider the ordinance of marriage. But last week, if you remember, I gave the biblical backdrop or framework of the creation ordinance of work. And amongst other things, we heard that the ordinance of work was instituted by God. We read about that in Genesis chapter 2. And we thought about how when God instituted work, Adam would have been especially delighted in that work. It's hard for us to contemplate that, isn't it? But when God first instituted work, Adam would have immensely enjoyed the work that he gave him. But then we heard, secondly, how the ordinance of work was corrupted and even perverted because of the fall, when sin entered the world. And Adam suddenly found that his work was no longer as enjoyable as it should have been, and that it was a toil. And so the ordinance of work was corrupted and perverted because of the fall, when sin entered the world. But we didn't stop there. We discovered that in the Bible, that work, the ordinance of work, was to continue after the fall. Even though it had been corrupted and perverted, God wanted work to continue. And he wanted it to continue for his glory. So even though work had been affected by it, it was not abrogated. It was not set aside. Sometimes there is this negative view of work, that it is somehow the consequence of the fall. But no, we have to remember that God instituted work before the fall. And even though it was affected by the fall, it still continues to this day. And so each one of us is called to work for God's glory, even though work has been detrimentally affected by the fall. The fourth commandment tells us that 6 days we are to work. And that came many years after the fall, when we heard about the fourth commandment. And so into that biblical backdrop or framework, we began to consider some important questions that flow from that. Questions that affect us today in our own circumstances. Questions like, what do we mean by work? If we are to work 6 days, what is work? Then secondly, why do we work? Why is it that we work? And then thirdly, how do we work, or how do we work? And last time we began to consider some of the answers to those questions. But this evening I want to consider another related dimension to work, and that is the dignity of work. The dignity of work. I wonder if you've heard that phrase or expression before, the dignity of work, the dignity of all work. And the reason I wanted to do that is because next week I want to consider about the purpose of work and also how we are to work. But if we are to do things in the right way, then considering the dignity of work this evening will prepare us better for what it means to work in the right way and what is the purpose of work next week. So the dignity of work. The Bible teaches us that there is a dignity to all work. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, "Whatever your hands finds to do, do it with all your might." Colossians 3 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God." I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that there was a word that came up each time, as I said, each one of those Bible verses. That word, whatever. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. I want to say that's important for us to understand at the beginning, because here God is endorsing all kinds of work. He's saying, whatever you do, now there are a few things that I need to clarify later on, but whatever form of work that you're doing, you can bring glory to God. The Bible is clear in telling us that all legitimate work has inherent dignity. And before we get into that, I want to first of all get our terms right by thinking about what is work. Then secondly, I want to touch on some of the changes to the nature and attitude of work. It does affect us as we live in our own society. Before thirdly coming to the main biblical teaching on the subject. I usually like to do it the other way around, but in this evening I want to do it this way. I think it will be helpful if we consider it this way. First of all, what is work? What do we mean by work? Work is usually understood as activity designed to accomplish something that is needed. Is usually understood as activity designed to accomplish something that is needed. It is different to recreation. Recreation is usually understood to be activity that is satisfying in itself, but is not necessarily needed. And it is, of course, different to rest, where there is no activity at all. So when we think about work, we must think about it being any activity that is designed to accomplish something that is needed. I want to say that's a helpful and necessary definition, because there are different forms of work. You know, when we think about work, we tend to think about the 9-to-5 that many people do, that they get for pay. That's certainly a part of work. It could be a large part of work. But work is more than that. Work is any activity designed to accomplish something that is needed. It is sometimes broader than we think. Some people go out to work while others stay at home and work. Some work is paid and some work is not paid. Retired people still work. Perhaps they are not working in a factory or an office anymore, or being paid anymore, but they are still doing plenty of work on a day-to-day basis. So when we think about work, we must think of it as activity that is designed to accomplish something that is needed. And this definition, I believe, is helpful when we think about the changes that have taken place with regards to the nature of work and to the attitudes about work. We can't deny that there have been changes in the nature of work and in the attitudes towards work. First, the changes in the nature of work. I think you would agree with me when I say that there's been significant changes in the kind of work that people do, generally speaking. Adam at the dawn of civilization, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 2, was called to tend and keep a garden. Adam was a gardener. But most of the world's population are not gardeners. Hello, as an aside, there are 600 million farms in the world. But I want to say that many people nowadays do work that entails no physical work at all, or very little physical work, work that might hurt your fingers or your back because you're sitting at a desk all day. And generally speaking, there's been a change in the nature of work that many of us do. Many people, certainly in the Western world, are now working with their heads rather than working with their heads and their hands. Generally speaking, there has been a move from large proportions of the population working in the mill or in the mines or in the market. And many people are now working inside, often behind a computer screen. And so it's fair to say that there's been a great change in the nature of work for many. But secondly, and perhaps relatedly, there's been changes to the attitude of work. Whether that is attitude in society at large, or even in the wider church. I think it's fair to say that there are some in society who perhaps have always seen work as a bad thing, something to be avoided. I wonder if we all think that. I think it's fair to say that there are some in society who would look at certain jobs and think that they are not worthwhile. It may be that as many people move inside to work, away from the mills and the mines and the market, to the non-physical jobs, there has been an attitude of considering physical manual labor as inferior. Or maybe the other way around. Someone who is doing hard physical labor looks inside and sees the man or whoever it is working at a computer and says, they're not lifting a finger to do any work. And so there's been this change in work and changes in the attitude to work. And perhaps to compound it all, there is the role of money. Generally speaking, we are living in a society where jobs that are valued better by society and their definition are paid more. Certainly isn't true in every case. There are many instances where it's not the case. But generally speaking, that is the case. And what can happen as the worth of any given job is tied to money is that those who are paid less can feel that their job is of less worth. Can you see the problem there? And conversely, those who are paid more think that their job is more worthy than others. I'm not saying that those who are paid well are to be feeling guilt or anything like that. It's just a general trend in this society that we live in. And I want to say that these are just some of the trends and ideas that are swirling around us today in this whole realm of work. And I want to say that it's not just in society. There are all kinds of other ideas and trends that are in the wider church. And many of these ideas and trends are wrong. They're not in accordance with what the Bible teaches. So thank you for bearing with me, but now I want to turn to the Bible to see what God says about work. The Bible teaches us that all work has an inherent dignity. And what I mean by dignity is something that is worthy of respect and even honor. When we talk about the dignity of work, we mean that it is worthy of respect and honor, not just some work, not just most work, but all work is worthy of respect and honor. Why is this? Well, it's because God himself instituted work at the beginning. Work has an intrinsic value because God instituted it. Remember last week we looked at Genesis chapter 2 and saw that God brought about the ordinance of work. It didn't happen through some evolutionary process, somehow that work became a necessary thing and man brought in work. No, God brought in work, and that's significant to meditate on. And because God has brought in work, then all work has an inherent dignity. Whether that's work in an office or a factory, or work done at home. Whether that work is hard or whether it's easy. Whether that work is paid or unpaid. Here's an important one. Whether that work is distinctly Christian or whether it is not distinctly Christian. All work has an inherent dignity because God instituted it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Colossians 3, whatever you do. 1 Corinthians 10, whatever you do. Now, this is really important to remember as attitudes about work have been forced upon us by the wider society. Attitudes that are ultimately unbiblical. It comes, it should come as no surprise that unbiblical views of work have appeared over the years. But what has been surprising is how these sentiments of these unbiblical views have found their way into the wider church. But I want to say it's no new thing. It's nearly always been this way. Wrong views of work appeared at least as early as the time as the ancient Greeks. And I want to say that perhaps those views more than any have infiltrated society and the church. The ancient Greeks believed that work was intrinsically evil and to be avoided if at all possible. And they believed that because they taught that the material world was evil and that what we must do instead is avoid that at all costs and seek to cultivate the spiritual. And so what they did is they denigrated work. They said that we should not be doing physical work. If you were doing physical work, if you had to do it, that was inferior. And what it was, the super spiritual person was one that was freed from work to concentrate on these things and to have their soul liberated from the evil material world. And that view, I don't have to tell you, is a complete contradiction to the biblical view of work. But I want to say that this kind of thinking has influenced the wider society and church. It's the kind of thinking which gives greater dignity to work that is deemed spiritual over against work that is not seen as spiritual. There are some who attribute greater dignity to those kind of jobs that are given over to time with God. I'm not downplaying that, but it's wrong to say that that is more dignified than the other job. So over the course of time, I'll not give you a history lesson, but there were some who attributed greater dignity to those who withdrew from ordinary life into the monastery or the nunnery. In medieval society, that society was divided into three. Those who prayed, those who fought, those who worked, with a greater dignity given over to the sacred rather than the secular. Now, we might not think that that kind of thinking is in our society today. It probably isn't because of the move away from God. But I want to say that this kind of thinking is in the wider church. For instance, people in the wider church can venerate the work of the ministry at the expense of other valid work. They might say, you know, I'm just an office worker, but Joe Pastor over there is doing real work. And people can go through life wondering if they're wasting their life, wondering if they should be doing something more Christian. But I want to say that these people are misguided. And I want to say it's probably because they've been mistaught. Because there are people out there who essentially teach, or at least give the impression, that Christian ministry is the only worthwhile work that someone can do. All other work, they will say, or at least give the impression, is a distraction to the real thing that you should be doing. And again, perhaps it's been badly worded. These are coming from well-meaning people. But it goes against the teaching of the Bible, that kind of thinking. And I want to say that the Reformers certainly didn't think that way. The Reformers spoke about everyone having a vocation or a calling. They taught that all people could use these vocations or callings that everyone had to glorify God. You didn't have to be a minister or a priest. The job didn't even have to be distinctly Christian. You didn't have to sell a coffee with a Bible verse on it. Martin Luther was one of the proponents of this biblical recovery of work. Martin Luther had no time for this idea that priests and nuns and monks were engaged in holier work than housewives and farmers. And William Tyndale famously said this: "If we look externally, there is a difference between washing dishes and preaching the word of God. But as touching to please God, there is no difference at all. To wash dishes, to be a cobbler or an apostle, all is one. To wash dishes and to preach is all as one as touching the deed to please God." Understand what he's saying there? It's old English. But he's saying there's a difference between the two, but we're not to denigrate either. But in terms of pleasing God and the calling that God has called you to, you are pleasing God as much when you're washing the dishes to the glory of God as preaching the best sermon that you are given by the Lord. Now, there is a danger that this kind of understanding can be misunderstood. What they were not saying, the Reformers, ultimately what they were drawing from the Bible, is that the work of a minister is unimportant, or that it's not a high calling. It is a high calling. They were not saying that men should avoid searching themselves to see if God really is calling them into the ministry. Perhaps someone is working through life and there is an internal call to the ministry. I'm not saying to batten that down and say, no, these things need to be sensitively thought about. The ministry is a high calling. But what they were not saying is that there is a two-tier Christianity. That somehow if you're not involved in Christian work explicitly, then your life is a waste of time. The Bible teaches us that all work is dignified. And I want to say we need to recover this teaching, because there could be a low value placed on work in general, and there can certainly be a low value placed on certain types of work. I'll be frank. There can be a snobbery about certain forms of work in society. And along with that, it can develop or produce a shame about certain work. And I want to say this is because people have not understood or not known the teaching of the Bible on the ordinance of work. But I want to say that that kind of thinking should not be found in us. Society can think what they want. They might be wrong, but a Christian should not think that way. Just because a certain form of work does not meet our society's criteria for important work, it does not follow that we hold that view. Just because someone isn't paid a lot, for instance, it does not follow that their job is unimportant. Isn't it interesting that Adam wasn't paid in the garden? We must believe that all legitimate work has inherent dignity. Now, there are some forms of work that are not worthy of dignity. The work of criminals who can work exceptionally hard is not dignified. Any work that breaks one or some of the Ten Commandments is also undignified. I want to clarify that. If you're in works of mercy, the Lord gives you an exception. But I've met a Christian who was very proud to tell me that he is a manager of a gambling institution. And he's able to provide for his family. He's able to witness at work. But that is not a dignified occupation. The whole setup of that organization is breaking the Eighth Commandment. And he cannot say that that work is dignified. But I want to say that these extreme situations are the few exceptions. All legitimate work has dignity. And we must remember that. And you must remember that, especially if you yourself have a low view of the work that you do, perhaps caused by the society around us. I've heard people say, when they're asked what work they do, they say something like, "I just do X," or "I'm only a X." Can you see what those words "just" and "only" are doing? They are downplaying the dignity of the work that God has called you to. Now, I don't want to discourage those who say that even more tonight. They usually say that thing because of the immense societal pressure that has been placed upon us. But I want you to encourage you this evening to take that word "just" or "only" out of your vocabulary. Because what you're called to do is dignified. And I want to encourage everyone else not to add pressure to the pressure that they face. We must not make derogatory comments about certain forms of work or imply that people are wasting their lives. No, God has given them a calling and they are fulfilling it to God's glory. And we should be encouraging them in it rather than disparaging the work that they've been called to. Again, it needs a further clarification. I'm not saying that people are to avoid aspiring to be the best that they can be. I'm not talking about the world's language there. If we are in a place of work or our calling is one that we're able to advance for God's glory, we should be able to do that and want to do that for His glory. I'm also not saying that all jobs are equal in terms of influence or that all jobs are equally strategic for the kingdom or that we should feel any guilt tonight if we have a high-flying job. Or that we should have a far too high view of our work. That's another danger, that as we think about work and try and bring up the dignity of work, that we go into the stratosphere and say, well, actually, I need to go to the other extreme and see work as the most important thing in my life. When actually, we're called to be a Christian first. That is our chief calling. And the danger is that as we try to bring up the dignity of work, that our function as a member in the church goes down. How often that happens. And I want to mention that next week, actually, that these things have to be kept in balance. Yes, we are to do everything to the glory of God in our vocation, but it cannot impact on the chief callings that we are called to. But what I am saying is that all legitimate work has an inherent dignity, and that all Christians will bring glory to God if they fulfill the calling that God has given them. After all, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And so, as I close, I want to say next week, with this in mind and a few more thoughts, we will look at the purpose of work and then also how we are to work. Well, as we respond to this,